Amen and amen to that. I'm thinking of our first pastor, whose picture is out there in the foyer, Dr. Charles Ware. And I'm thinking about, you know, one thing that he said. He said a lot of quotable quotes. One thing he said that I think about a lot is, let's not just be criticizing, but gospelizing. He said too many people are criticizing, but they're not gospelizing. Oh, things are bad, things are horrible, but what are we doing? And somebody has said, don't just curse the darkness, but light a candle. Don't just curse the darkness, light a candle. And one of the reasons that people make as an excuse why we shouldn't go out and knock on doors is that knocking on doors, you just have people yell at you, they slam the doors in your face, they mistreat you, and no good ever comes of it. I'm thinking of a man that I really loved and respected when I was in Bible college, and he was very intelligent professor, but he was also a pastor in Scranton here, and he was in a Baptist church, and I remember him saying, there's no use, basically, to witness to the people of Scranton because they're Catholic, they're closed, it's just, you're not going to get very far in this area with these folks. And I remember when we were at that church and we rented from that church and we'd lost our building and we did witness to people. We did knock on doors and the deacons all met together with us and said, hey, you can't do this. You know, you're renting our church building and you're knocking on doors and you're stirring up a hornet's nest in the air and you're baptizing people in the baptistry. And we said, well, we're renting a Baptist church. That's what Baptist churches do. And you know what? I found out later on that church no longer has a building. It's now leveled. It's not there anymore. And so it is when we are criticizing people, but we're not gospelizing them. And so I want to prove to you today from this message from the Bible that it is a false notion that God won't bless our knocking on doors, that God won't bless our giving the gospel. I want to prove, in fact, it's a lie from the pit of hell. And I'd like you to turn to your scripture reading, Isaiah chapter 55 this morning. Isaiah 55. And the name of my sermon is God Promises to Bless, not your criticizing, but your gospelizing. Gospel means giving the good news. We have good news to give. And God promises to bless it. And I want to say three things from Isaiah 55. Number one, he promises to bless your gospelizing by his invitation to the wicked. And look at Isaiah 55, and let's read verses 7 through 9. I'll read, you follow. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, who's he speaking to here? People that are not saved. There are only two kinds of people. Either you're saved or you're not saved. Either you're 100% sure you're going to heaven with a Bible reason, or you're not. And if you're not, then you're called wicked. If you're not, you're called unrighteous. No matter how many good things you and I might do, and you need to be saved. Now, notice it says here, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Very important. To get saved, the wicked man has to forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You know, I was up on Walsh Plaza on a Thursday night knocking on doors. And it's interesting, I was going to visit a particular house, and I didn't get to see the guy I was visiting, but I happened upon a house where a lady was there, and she was looked nice, and she was all kind of dressed up nice, and she was getting dinner ready for her three sons, and it smelled good. It was like roast beef, mashed potatoes, and gravy, and she was out there, and I was... she looked familiar, and she said to me, "Pastor, yes, my son will be going to church on the bus Sunday." And I'm like, "Oh." I said, "Well," I wasn't sure. I said, "Well, who signed him up again?" And she said, "You." And I said, "Great. That's great. I'm so glad. I'm so glad he's going to be going." And we talked a little bit, and I started talking to her about the Lord and about being saved. And I asked her two questions about that. And she said to me, very interesting, she said, "Well, you know, I have a philosophy. I have one of my kids believes in this God, another one believes in that God, I believe in this one, but I think the son that we're sending to church, he would like to go to church with you guys." And I thought about that, and I thought about going up in Carbondale, and the lady told me that she was a witch, she was a Wiccan. And I thought about some people's god is Gaia. Have you heard about Gaia? Gaia is to worship the earth, that Mother Nature is God. And some people believe in evolution. They just believe God is not really a person. He's just a force over time and chance and things happen, or it's just totally secular and everything happens according to evolution. Some believe in Allah, that he's God. Some believe in Buddha, that he's God. Some even believe in Satan worship. Some pray to Mary and they pray to the saints. If you pray to Mary and you pray to the saints, that makes them equal with God. And the Bible says you're not to pray to anybody but God, right? And so I was talking to that lady, and I quoted her Acts 20:21. It says, Paul preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That means if you want to get saved, you have to change your mind about who God is. That he's not the God of evolution. That he's not Mother Nature. That he's not Allah. That he's not Mary or the saints. That he's not some false god of Wiccan. That he's certainly not Satan. You have to change your mind. That's repentance toward God. It means you change your mind about God. And when you change your mind about God, you realize you've sinned against him. You've gone away from him. And you need to turn back to his way of salvation and forsake your way. And that's what it means when it says you're to return unto the Lord. That means all mankind has left God. Adam left God. And you need to return to God. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone, what? To his own way. What does that mean? His own God. Or his own way of salvation. But you've got to get back to God's way. And you've got to get back to the God of the Bible. I tell people, I had a little dog named Gunner. He was a funny little dog. And my daughter gave him to me. And I had that dog, and I took care of that dog named Gunner. He was named after Eric being a gunner in the Bradley fighting vehicle. But that little dog, he was a character. And he just was a pug, and he always wandered away. He would leave the house. If I let him out, he'd run away, and we'd have to chase him down. And I would go to the dog pound, and he'd be in a cage there, and I had to pay $25, and he'd be trembling in that cage, and I'd take him back. And I'd take care of him, fed him, give him treats. He'd still run away. No matter how good I treated him, he ran away. And the Bible says we have left God. And why do we run away? Because we love our sin. We love our way of doing things. Everyone is turned to his own way. Some people are heterosexual sinners, some homosexual sinners, some people are this sinner and that sinner. We've turned everyone to our own way of sinning against God, and we've left God. But when we get saved, listen, we see we need to come back to the God of the Bible. And we need to be saved. And that's repentance toward God. We change our mind about who God is. And then we forsake our own way to be saved. Now, when you go to people and you ask them, even if they believe in the God of the Bible, guess what? If you ask them how to be saved, 95%, Brother Joe, I know this. You said this to me originally. 95% or more of the people will say, "I hope to get into heaven by being good." Amen? I hope to be in heaven by doing good things. If you're trusting in your goodness, in your good works, you're not going to get into heaven. It's like drinking chocolate milk. You can have a cup of chocolate milk. I can give you chocolate milk and you can drink it. And let that represent all the good things you've done. How many of you like chocolate milk? You know, you're drinking that chocolate milk, it tastes great. But if I take one drop of poison arsenic and drop it in there, you might not be able to taste it, but you drink that milk and you're going to die. And if you have one sin against the God of the Bible, it's enough to ruin all your good works, and you'll have to die and go to hell to pay for those sin. And so God says, listen, come back to me, the God of the Bible, and if you want to come back, you've got to go through my way, not your way. My way is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Let's say somebody wants to call me and I give you my cell phone number, 570-575-3186. I say, you want to call me, you can call this cell phone. Right now it's off, but you can call it. 570-575-3186. And let's say Marion calls. She said, I want to talk to Pastor. And she dials 570-575-3286. Is she going to get me?
No.
See, it's very narrow. The phone company is very narrow. And people say, well, I am not narrow. I believe in, like this lady, all these different gods and all these different... No, there's only one God. And there's only one way to be saved, and that is through God's Son, who died and was buried and rose again to pay for our sins. His name is Jesus Christ, and through faith in Him, and that's how you're saved. And if you don't come through His way, you're not getting in. Just like you're not going to get me if you don't dial the exact seven numbers that are given on my cell phone. And so I want to say this today to you. God uses you and I who have repented of our own God and we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. God uses you to tell others to turn from their gods to the God of the Bible and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And God says, if you do that, I want you to notice verse 7, what it says, and God will what? He will have what? Mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will what? Abundantly pardon. If you're willing to come to God and be reconciled to God, and if you're willing to trust his way, that is through the blood and death of Jesus Christ and through his resurrection, and you're willing to trust the Lord as your Savior, listen, look up here, kids. If you're willing to do that, you will be pardoned. All your sins, God said, he's so generous, he's so gracious, he's so good, you see. And that's why you can go and tell others, because God promises, I'll pardon people if they turn to me. If they come through the way, the truth, and the life, I'll pardon them. It's very simple. It's not complicated. God made it simple. God wants to save people. And so I'm saying to you today, God promises to bless your gospelizing by his gracious and kind invitation to wicked people, unsaved people who have it wrong about the way to be saved, who have it wrong in many cases about who God is even. But God says, I will save them. That's enough to encourage me to go out there and do it. How about you? How about you? And if you're here this morning, what I'm saying should be enough to encourage you to turn to God and to trust Jesus Christ, who God sent to save you. And be saved, because he said it. If you're not saved, and he's not going to save you in your sin. If you're a homo, he's not going to keep you as a homo.
That's right.
If you're a fornicator, he's not going to keep you living that life. If you're a drunkard, he's not going to keep you living that life. If you're a dirty crook, he's not going to keep you being a dirty crook. He's going to save you and turn your life around. I'm saying he's giving you a gracious invitation. But I want to say a second thing, and that is God promises to bless your gospelizing, not only by his gracious invitation to wicked people, but by his illustration of the weather. Now, how many remember that it rained yesterday? Amen? It rained. I remember it because I was out on Buckminster. Were you out on Buckminster yesterday? And so we were out on bus ministry knocking on doors. And come rain or shine, we're going to be out there knocking on doors. But it just so happened that it was raining. Did you feel that rain? I had an umbrella, but I turned it upside down. I put the umbrella up, and the water was just coming off the umbrella. I'm saying, okay, Lord, I just got to get wet. You just want me to get wet here. You know, we root for football teams. Sarge's team won yesterday. My team won yesterday. Sorry, Brother Steve. And it happens. I can sympathize. But one thing I know is true. When you're going out and you're knocking on doors and the college football teams play in the rain and in the sun, they play in the snow and when it's not snowy. They go out there and they play, right? Doesn't the Bible say, he that observes the winds will not what? Sow. And people that look at the weather, they will not sow. But God says, look, I want to give you an illustration of the weather to encourage you to go and to sow the good news in people's hearts. Look at verse 10 of Isaiah 55. He said, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, he says in verse 10. So in other words, he's not saying that the hydraulic system, the water cycle, does not ever return back to the clouds. It does. But what he's saying, before it goes back to the clouds, what does it do? It waters the earth. And what does that water do? It makes green grass. What does that water do? It makes flowers grow. What does that water do? It makes crops grow for the farmers. And they get seed. And so if we did not have rain in the yesterday and snow in the winter, I know a lot of you say, I hope it doesn't snow much this winter. But you may get hammered. I don't know. But I know we'll get as much snow as we need. Because if we didn't have rain and we didn't have snow, what would northeastern Pennsylvania be? It would be a desert. It wouldn't be green and productive and nice. And so the illustration of the weather God gives us so that we'll go and sow and expect God to bless the gospel seed. And I went out yesterday and I was inviting people to come to church, and I was working for Brother Matt's bus route, and Brother Jesse and Brother Matt went out and knocking on doors. And I praise the Lord. He told me he had 20 today on his van, just with the van. Had to make two trips with the van. So I said, that is really good. That is really good. Two trips with the van. And praise the Lord for that. But after it was over, I said, Lord, I didn't really get to give the gospel like I wanted to today. And I had to go to Walmart and get a couple things. My day was done. I'd been out there all day. And I went into Walmart and I said, Lord, I'd like to give the gospel to somebody. And then I said, oh man, I forgot my tracks and flyers. I wasn't happy about that. But anyway, I got in there and I was praying, Lord, help me. And I was getting some food and stuff like that. And I see this young lady, she's 21. She's looking at me like she knows me. I have people going, hey, pastor, hey, pastor, hey, pastor. I don't know who they are, but I'm like, hey, good to see you. Hey, man. And I'm just waving. But I go in, this girl's just looking at me. She's not saying hey, but she's like talking to her mother. I found out it's her stepmother. Like, so I'm like, I kind of made my way over there, you know, with the basket. And I found out it was a young girl that was on Kyle's route, which is now Matt's route, and she lived in Forest City. Her name was Star. Star. And she used to come to our church. Anybody remember Star? Yeah, a number of people do. She's now 21, lives up in Archibald, and that was her stepmother. Her name is Barbara. Barbara. And I asked the two spiritual questions. Now, Star knew the gospel and professed to be saved. But Barbara didn't have the right way. She thought she'd get to heaven by being good. And that's not the right way. And I told her about the grace of God. And she told me this whole story about how God led me to her now. And she prayed to receive Christ right there. And I was so glad. And we told her about the church and got her address and phone number. But I'm just saying that it's like the water. The water that God sends in the form of rain or snow is meant for us to have fruit. And we, if we give the gospel and we get enough water coming down, we're going to have fruit, and that fruit is going to be a blessing. And so the more soul winners we have out, the more rain and snow that we have, and we're not going to be like a desert. These churches, like the church I mentioned where the pastor didn't believe God was going to save anybody, he didn't send out his deacons to be soul winners. He didn't send people out. And so guess what? It becomes like a desert around because there's not enough rain. There's not enough water to make things grow. And what a sad thing that is. I also went out Thursday night soul winning, and I went out with my friend Isaac. Isaac is traveling out of state today, he told me, but I went out with Isaac, and we went to a young teenage guy up in Walsh Plaza who had prayed to receive Christ with me, and I saw him and had a friendly visit with him, and then I saw the bus mom, and then we left her, and we went to Peckville. When I was in Peckville, we weren't able to contact anybody, really, but then finally I went over and I went to knock on a door and went to talk to a young lady in her 20s, but she was not available, and so there were kids around, and finally we waited long enough, and I saw a teenage brother of hers, invited him over, gave him the gospel. He prayed to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and the three other kids that were like around, they were listening, and guess what? They all prayed to receive Christ. That was on Thursday night. You say, why do you say that? Because God said it's like the weather. Just like the rain brings forth fruit, and just like the snow brings forth fruit, if you have soul winners out there that are knocking on doors, if you have soul winners out there, then you will see people get saved. If your church doesn't have that, you won't see people get saved. And not just the church, but the Bible says you're an individual in the church. If you have ears to hear, how about you hearing it? How about instead of just criticizing and cursing the devil, you start gospelizing and get this good news out, and you have the illustration of the weather, you have God's gracious invitation to the wicked, and he promises, listen, he promises to bless your gospelizing. You say, are you sure? Yeah, 1 Corinthians says, therefore be steadfast, unmovable, always what? Abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That brings me to the last point. God promises to bless your gospelizing by his investment promises to the worker, his invitation to the wicked, his illustration of the weather, and by his investment promises to the worker. Look at verse number 11 with me. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. Just like the water, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. That's what God says. So God says, just like the water, you know, the rain comes down, the snow comes down, eventually it returns to the clouds, but not before what happens? Not before you got water on earth that will grow the crops, that will grow the flowers, that will turn the grass green. Not before it accomplishes. That's God's plan for the water. The same way when you and I go out with the gospel and knock on doors and give people the gospel, God says that word that I gave will not return to me without accomplishing my purpose. That's God's promise. And what a promise it is. And, you know, when we speak the word of God, God has productive power. I think of when God spoke and the world was created. God said on the first day of creation, let there be light. And the waves of light energy began to pulsate and the world began to spin on its axis. And the light shined on one side and you had day and night. I mean, everything went into action when God spoke and said, let there be light. I'm saying the created world began, the beginning of recorded time and energy for the dark, watery matrix there. It all began when God spoke. And that happened on the first day. Second day, God spoke and the atmosphere was created. And God created the sky with the atmosphere and had the water above and the waters below on the second day. And the third day, God spoke and the dry land appeared. And I'm just saying, when God speaks, things happen. God's word has productivity. God's word does things. And is it any wonder that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, listen, for the word of God is quick, that means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God says, listen, you need to speak my word. And if you speak my word, guess what? Things are going to be set in motion. God is going to do something. He's not just going to give, decisional regeneration. He's going to give, when he works, he's going to give divine regeneration. And it's going to come out and you will see it, but you've got to go and give the gospel and give out the word of God. And so God says, not only will it be productive and powerful when it's spoken, my word, but he says, my gospel shall accomplish my purpose, not yours. My plan, not yours. You're just the messenger. You just do what God says. He says, it shall accomplish that which I please. And I had a friend of mine in Florida. He was a Sunday school teacher. He had youth ministry and so forth and so on. He was his wife taught in a Christian school there. And he said to me, I was a pastor in North Carolina. His name was Cal Craddock. Nice guy. You remember Cal? And Cal was saying that, he said, you know what, Randy? He said, we had a visitation night when I was a pastor. I was a school teacher at the time down in Florida. And I was a youth pastor down there. Amen and amen. I was a youth pastor down there. And we had a visitation, he told me. And he said, we would go out and knock on these doors and follow up all these people. He said, but we weren't seeing any of the people that we witnessed to and knocked on doors come to the church. He said, but people came from the other side of the city, and they came another, and they were getting saved. And he said, I couldn't understand it. He said, now I realize it's just you obey God, and God saves. God does the divine regeneration. You do the giving out of the word of God. I'm thinking one night in this church, I was going soul winning because I went every day and I was going soul winning. And a young man in the church came up to me. His name was Kyle Donovan. He said, Pastor, can I go out with you soul winning tonight after church? I said, sure. It was a Sunday evening. I said, sure, you can go with me. And so we went down to the, I believe it was the courthouse down in Scranton. And we were down there. And little did I know that Kyle had been convicted that day. I thought Kyle was a believer and he was in the church for a year. And little did I know, and Brother Joe had talked to him, asked him two spiritual questions, and it really convicted him. I didn't know that. And I went to give the gospel to some people, and they prayed to receive Christ. And while they were praying to receive Christ, unbeknownst to me, my soul-winning partner, Kyle Donovan, was bowing his head and praying to receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. You see, you don't know. I don't know. God knows. All he cares about is that we step out in faith and that we do the gospelizing that he wants us to do, that we step out on faith and we knock on those doors. And God says, I will accomplish my purpose. He says, shall accomplish that which I please. And so his gospel will accomplish God's sovereign design or purpose. Not only that, but his gospel shall prosper whenever you release it. Because notice in verse 11 it says, and it shall what? Prosper in the things whereto I sent it. You say, I'm going out and I'm giving the gospel. Yeah, but you know God sent you. You know, God sent you with His Word, and He sent it for a purpose, just like He sends the rain. I don't always like it when it rains, but God sent it for a purpose. And Ecclesiastes 11:1, God promises you, He says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. You know, my Grand Mabel was talking to me. I don't even think she knew she was changing my life that day. But she told me about Jesus dying on the cross and Jesus opening the way for us to go to heaven. And she told me the gospel. And that day I got saved. I believed. And I was born again. It all came into motion because my grandma was giving me the Word of God. And now I'm a pastor. Now I'm serving the Lord. She's in heaven. But you see, God had a purpose in her speaking to her grandson the Word of God. You never know. It could be a family member. It could be a grandchild. You never know. It'll prosper, God says, in the thing whereto I sent it. I will prosper that word. I go out with Isaac, and Isaac is a member of Faithful Word Baptist Church in Arizona. Faithful Word Baptist Church. Pastor Stephen Anderson. He has about 12 kids. He's a very busy man. About a church, 300 people down there. And I think about Pastor Anderson. Isaac lived right near that church, he told me. And he said he never went to that church, never went to a Baptist church. His parents are Christians, but they weren't Baptist. And he said he didn't go to that church. He said, but I got on a YouTube thing. And he said, I watched the pastor on YouTube giving the gospel. And I got saved. And then he said, I went to that church, which is real near my house. You know Bob Watzel, Linda, your brother and your uncle. Bob Watzel, he was listening to a program on the radio, and he got saved. And he looked this church up and came to this church. And Linda and AJ are here today. And Bob Watzel got saved. And I'm just saying, we don't know. And by Isaac sharing that with me, I told Brother Eric Zukowski, I said, we need to get a QR code and have me as the pastor do a gospel presentation like Pastor Anderson. On the other side, we'll do a Spanish presentation of the gospel in Spanish and have a QR code. And who knows? We may have a Spanish church. I hope so. Who knows what God's going to do? And here, Isaac got saved, and now he's talking about family members here in northeastern Pennsylvania. He said, I want them to get saved and come to your church. He said, I love your church. You guys preach the Bible. He said, I love it, the way you preach the Bible, and Bible verses are up there. He likes to see those Bible verses, brother. He likes that. And he said, I want to get my family members to come out here. Who knows what God can do? And we get that thing, who knows? I'm just saying, God promises, I'm going to make this thing prosper. What does prosper mean? It's going to make you mega rich spiritually. Yeah, in people getting saved and lives being changed. And he says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. That might not happen immediately, but later on you will see the fruit from it. And another thing, Brother Isaac, he got saved, and he was sharing with me about how their church is knocking on doors. And I said, we've done that before. I told him, we've done it maybe two different times. We knocked on doors. But you know what? He convicted me. God used that, and I said, we need to do it again. That young man shared that. I said, we need to do it again. And we started Operation Knock on Doors. Why? Because God will prosper it. He told me the other day, he said, you know, our church, we have our soul winners, and we'll just get on an airplane, and there's a cheap ticket in South America. You can go to Belize. I said, Belize? He said, yeah. They speak English there? I said, yeah. And we'll go there for 3, 4, 5 days. And I said, what do? Just win souls every day. Go out, knock on doors, give the gospel to people, and they get saved. And then we come back, you know, eat Spanish food. They come back, amen and amen. I said, I like something like that. That sounds like fun. But what I'm saying to you is that God promises that I'm going to accomplish my purpose. You don't even know all that I'm going to do. And I'm going to make it to prosper, and it will be a glorious thing. And so you need to invest in the gospel. Invest in a Thursday night, even if you're a prayer partner, but better yet, get out there. Even if you give tithes and offerings, but you better yet, get out there. But I'm saying do your part. And I appreciated Brother Steve came out. This Brother Steve right here, 84 years old, he came out to men's prayer meeting to pray for our gospel outreach and our services. It was so good to see him. And Brother Matt tried to sign him up for bus ministry to go out in the rain that day. He said, oh, absolutely not. I'm 84 years old. He said, I'm lucky to be here, and I'm going to take a nap. And I said, praise the Lord, Steve. You tell that young whippersnapper. Amen. You tell him for me. But you know what? You can invest and do your part, whatever your part is. And God will bless. I think about Andrew. Andrew was the brother of Peter. Andrew got saved, believed the gospel of the Messiah, and he just went and got his brother. And think about his brother. His name was Peter. And Peter led 3,000 to the Lord in one sermon. Peter then went through Judea, giving the gospel, planting churches in Israel. Then Peter went up to Caesarea and led a Roman to the Lord and helped to spread the gospel that way through Cornelius getting saved. I'm just saying, God will send the gospel out through you and accomplish whatever purpose he has for it, and he will prosper it. Let me share with you a true illustration that I thought about when it comes to this, and I'll close here, when it comes to the gospel being prospered through you. I'm thinking of a Sunday school teacher about 100 and some years ago. His name was Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball. He was a Sunday school teacher in Boston, Massachusetts. And he went to one of his students. He wanted to be a good Sunday school teacher. So he said, it's not just enough for me to teach on Sunday. I want to go out and visit my students and tell them how to get saved. Not just in class, but personally, each one of them. And so Edward Kimball, good Sunday school teacher, he went out and he went, and one of his guys was a teenager, a teenage boy. And he was working part-time job or full-time, I don't know what his job. He was working as a shoe salesman. And he went to the shoe store and he gave the gospel to this young boy in his class and led him to Christ. Anybody know his name? His name was Dwight Lyman Moody. D.L. Moody. Just so you know. D.L. Moody, the rest is history. Led millions to Christ as a great evangelist in Europe, in America, around the world. But now I'm not done there. Moody, who preached the gospel, Moody became a great evangelist. He led millions to the Lord, but he led another guy to the Lord, a young man who became an evangelist. His name was J. Wilbur Chapman. J. Wilbur Chapman. And Chapman preached. How many have heard of J. Wilbur Chapman? Not many, but he was a great evangelist in his day. And J. Wilbur Chapman led somebody to the Lord. Now, he led many people to the Lord, but he led somebody that you're going to know about to the Lord. Who knows the famous person he led to the Lord? His name was Billy Sunday. How many have heard of Billy Sunday? Oh, a lot of you have heard of him. And Billy Sunday became a great evangelist. He was a second baseman for the Chicago White Stockings, not the White Sox. Then it was the White Stockings. And he used to preach, and he'd slide into second base. You know, he'd slide and go into base, and he'd really preach fired up. He led many, many people to the Lord. He even came to Scranton and Wilkes-Barre, and great things happened here. But he led somebody to the Lord that you might not know about. Maybe you have if you're in this church. He became an evangelist. He was a Southern guy. His name was Mordecai Ham. Ham and eggs. Amen. Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham was a great evangelist. Mordecai Ham preached especially through the South, and he led a young man to the Lord. He led many people to the Lord. This young man was from North Carolina, Montreat, North Carolina, and his name was Dr. Billy Graham. Billy Graham, the evangelist. Write to me, Billy Graham, Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's all the address you need. When I was a young Christian, I listened to his voice and heard his voice and heard Billy Graham preach. And I like to
talk like Billy Graham. And I went to Bible college and I would talk like Billy Graham. And the kids would all laugh at me. They thought that was something. That was funny. Watch this guy. He can talk like Billy Graham. But you know what? It all started with that Sunday school teacher, Edward Kimball. Who knows the way God will prosper? But when you get to heaven, you could see all of that that Kimball's going to see. All of that that Andrew's going to see. God is going to accomplish his purpose. God is going to prosper you going, and he promises to do it by his investment promises to you as a worker. You know, if you're a young person and you invest your money in a return for 5%, 10%, you would be a millionaire by the time you're in your 40s if you just let time work for you. But most young people don't. They just spend all their money. They don't invest it. Most young people don't. They're too soon, old, too late, smart. But some do. We've taught it in this church. We've taught it. We've taught the Dave Ramsey course and all that. We've taught it. But very few people do it. But I'm teaching you something: to invest your time in a Thursday night ministry, in a Saturday bus ministry, or just soul winning at 11:30, or invest your time to go out with one of our soul winners and to train others. You will never regret it, because God gives you promises. Because of his gracious invitation to the wicked, by his illustration of the weather, and by his investment promises to you as a worker. And if you're here today and you have not repented of your false gods and turned to the true God and said, God, I want to be saved. And if you've not forsaken your way to be saved and trusted Jesus, then do it, because God will save you right here, right now. And you will have a wonderful, rich future. Would you do it? But you, child of God, would you invest in giving the gospel? Oh, it's worth it. I'm going to ask, we bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. And we've been talking about this great